And welcome. I'm Dr. Mona Kular, and this is To Immunity and Beyond. I'm a medically trained doctor and nutrition and health coach, and I love helping people find the very best version of themselves. This show is all about living well, feeling well, and most importantly, aging well. The immune system is essentially the body's wellness system, so by understanding and supporting it, we can all reach an optimal level of health. I'll be having conversations with a wide range of experts from around the world on all the areas that can support our immune system to help us live healthier for longer. Let's live life better. Hello and welcome to Immunity and Beyond. My guest today is Dr. Gemma Newman, also known as the Plant Power Doctor, and we're talking all about the benefits of adopting a whole foods plant-based diet, including what that actually means and how to go about it. Gemma talks passionately and eloquently about everything surrounding this subject, and I hope you enjoy today's conversation. Gemma, hello. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Hello, it's my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. It's very nice to meet you. Gemma, you are a GP and you're also known as the Plant Power Doctor. And I'd love it if you could tell us a bit about how you came to be interested in and advocate a whole food plant-based diet.
Well, it is a long story if you're willing to hear it. Yes.
An interesting one.
Yeah, well, I hope so. So yes, I'm a GP. I've been a doctor for 17 years. I always knew that I wanted to help my patients get well. And I found that in my clinical practice, especially when I was doing hospital medicine, I realized that there were lots of people suffering from chronic diseases. And that was where most of the people in the Western world were really struggling. When I was in accident and emergency and in acute medicine, it was fantastic because you could see the interventions that you were doing and they were helping people get well and go back home. But I always knew I wanted to go into general practice. And I found that within general practice, I was finding myself managing people's chronic diseases and watching them slowly decline, which is part of the job. But I also felt as though I really wanted to help people help themselves towards greater health. And so that was when I began to research lifestyle medicine. I did research into psychology, solution-focused, brief therapeutic approaches for my patients, CBT. And I stumbled upon plant-based nutrition, really, because back when I was a young medic and I wasn't really looking after myself, ironically, I was doing lots of late nights and night shifts and just grabbing whatever I could on the wards and in the doctor's mess. It was just not really a recipe for good health. I was gradually feeling more and more sluggish, gaining weight, feeling tired. And I decided a few years prior that I would perhaps just, you know, eat less, move more. I thought it sounds simple. So, you know, I had a bit more chicken and fish and salads, and I was exercising a lot more. And I did gradually gain in energy. I felt more confident with my body, and I was feeling good about myself. But I had a raised cholesterol, and I realized that, you know, even though you can look good on the outside and feel good on the inside, sometimes you still weren't necessarily doing good for your body. And I wonder whether that was just my genetic destiny, whether I just had to accept the fact that I was going to have a raised risk of heart disease because it runs in my family. But then I realized when my husband was running in the London Marathon that there was another way of fueling your body that could potentially reduce inflammation and disease risk. So he's not a medic, and he basically just wanted to be able to run the marathon. So he was looking at ways to do that would allow him to boost his performance. So we thought, well, I keep getting injured, I keep getting inflamed. What can I do better with my diet to help with that? He looked at the work of Rich Roll and his book Finding Ultra, Brendan Brazier's book, which I think was called Thrive. And there's an ultra marathon runner called Scott Jurek, who's probably one of the greatest marathon runners of all time. He read his book as well, and he realized that they were all plant-based. So he decided to give it a go, much to my sort of confusion, because at that time I hadn't really researched it at all. So I was curious, really curious to see what would happen. And he switched over to a whole foods plant-based diet during his marathon training. And incredibly, he got some wonderful results. His inflammation in his body seemed to reduce. He certainly had reduced injuries. He was able to run faster with less effort, with less training, in fact, than he was doing before. And he actually massively improved his running time. So he went an hour and 10 minutes faster for his second marathon as compared to his first, which he did on his previous diet. And that really got my attention. I'm not an athlete particularly. I'm not somebody that's, you know, into gains, muscle gains. But I realized that if it could work for athletes, could it work for my patients? Could there be something in this to help people who are suffering from chronic diseases? And when I delved into the literature, I discovered that yes, in fact, there really are great benefits from eating more whole foods, plant-based. It can potentially improve your chances of having a long, healthy life, reducing your risk of heart disease, reducing your risk of type 2 diabetes, even reversing type 2 diabetes, reversing the symptoms of autoimmune diseases in some cases. And in fact, almost everything that we're suffering from cancer to heart disease, our top two killers in the Western world, there can be tremendous benefits from shifting what you put on your plate. And when I realized this, that's when I became so hugely passionate. And I began to adopt this way of eating myself. I didn't lose or gain any weight when I switched to a plant-based diet. But that wasn't necessarily my aim or my intention. But what I did discover was that I, for the first time in my adult life, had a normal cholesterol and lipid profile when I had switched to a plant-based diet within just a month. And I also found that the knee aches that I was getting all through my 20s when I attempted to run disappeared. So for me, those were two great benefits anecdotally. But also when I looked in the literature, I realized that it made so much sense. When you look at the mechanisms and pathogenesis of heart disease, when you look at the mechanisms of inflammation, even you know things like arthritis, osteoarthritis, rheumatoid arthritis, all of these things could be potentially alleviated through this good nutritional approach. So it had me hooked and I've been doing it ever since.
Amazing. I love that story. And you can feel and see and hear your passion coming through. And I think when you've been through something yourself and seen the benefits, and as you say, in your husband, I mean, to increase his time or improve his time by an hour and 10, was it, is pretty phenomenal, really, isn't it? So it really shows you then on a personal level that these sorts of things can make a difference. And I love what you said as well about how sometimes even when we look good on the outside or look healthy and even feel pretty good, it doesn't always give us a clear picture of what's actually happening, does it? As you say, with your cholesterol levels. Mm-hmm. And so that's why just having, I think, knowledge about these other types of foods and how they can benefit you is really useful. At least people can then make decisions for themselves based on that information.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
How good are vitamin C supplements? Usually only a small proportion of vitamin C actually reaches your cells and has a positive effect. Whereas the high absorption levels of Goldman Laboratories' liposomal vitamin C help maintain optimal vitamin C levels in your body and strengthen your immune system. Now get 10% off when you choose Goldman Laboratories' liposomal vitamin C capsules. Just quote 10 off at goldmanlaboratories.com.
Do you suffer from pain? B-Cure Laser, a home-use CE-approved medical device for the effective treatment of pain, is now available in the UK. The results of a double-blind trial has shown that B-Cure Laser offers a significant reduction in pain compared to the placebo group. To get your special B-Cure offer now, call free on 0808 501 5122 or Google Radio Pro London. B-Cure Laser.
The station that makes you feel good.
Exactly. People can make decisions. And this is why I'm so passionate, because I realized very early on that not many people knew about this. You know, people get the idea that fruits and vegetables are good for you, but very few people, very few in the general public understood the incredible role that good nutrition could have in potentially reversing and preventing diseases. And I would have wanted my grandfather to know this. I would have wanted my father to know this. I have shared this with my own family and friends because, you know, they can choose to look into it and be inspired by it, or they can choose to continue to do the things that they were doing before. But for people to know about it is so important, because then at least they've got the option.
Definitely. And I do think there's more information now becoming available because of people like yourselves, actually, who, you know, because if we take this back a bit, when we went to medical school, we unfortunately weren't really taught much about nutrition in the sense of the positive effects it can have on our physiology. We, you know, it was more about sustenance, really, but not about how it actually benefits sort of all of our cellular processes. And so it's only more recently that people have started stepping outside of the traditional medical model to find that information out for themselves. And it is out there. And then, like yourself, have started to put it together for people to learn about. So it's amazing.
Thank you.
if we just take it down to the basics, what is a whole foods plant-based diet? As you say, people know that they should eat more fruits and vegetables, but that's not all it's about. There's more to it than that, isn't there? So can we go over what it actually is? What does it mean?
Yeah. So with the definition of a whole foods plant-based approach, it's essentially where you maximize fruits, vegetables, whole grains, legumes, herbs and spices, nuts and seeds, generally, you know, water for nutrition, for hydration. And those would be the main staples of your diet. When people refer to whole food plant-based dietary patterns in the medical literature, it tends to refer to exclusively whole foods plant-based. So these populations would be avoiding animal products completely. When you see people say that they eat plant-based, it means that the predominant thing that they're eating is plants, but it could also encompass a variety of dietary patterns. And when you see something in the supermarket which is labeled plant-based, it means that it doesn't contain animal products, but it doesn't necessarily tell you how healthy that product is. So, I mean, there's a few different areas, I suppose, of confusion there. Sometimes somebody will say, oh, yes, I eat a plant-based diet, and they mean that they are eating an exclusively plant-based diet. But others may mean that they're eating, say, a Mediterranean-style diet, or perhaps even a modified paleo diet, but they are having a predominantly plant-based pattern. So there's no specific percentages to apply. But if you're looking in the literature, if someone says that they're conducting a study and the people were eating a whole foods plant-based diet, it does mean that they're excluding all animal products.
And so if we just break the whole foods plant-based down a little bit further, when we talk about whole foods, we're talking about foods that are as close as possible to their natural origin, aren't we, really?
Yeah. So you can include minimally processed foods as well. So, so for example, things like tofu, that's a minimally processed food. Fortified plant milks are minimally processed. I suppose even tins of lentils you could potentially class as very minimally processed because they've come in a tin and they've been pre-cooked. But as you can see, those kinds of foods are not the kinds of foods that you would class as processed foods or ultra processed foods, such as, let me think of examples like a packet of cupcakes that you might get from the supermarket. They would be ultra processed foods, for example, yeah. Ones that have gone through a variety of different processes to create a product and then package it.
So with whole foods, you can vaguely work out, or pretty much closely work out, what it was, where it came from. It's not changed all that much from it, how it grew or, you know, originated.
Yes.
And then the plant-based bit, that's referring more to things that grow, like herbs, spices, fruits, vegetables, nuts and seeds, all of those types of things.
Yes. And legumes and whole grains. Yeah. So that's what it encompasses. And if you say it like that, it doesn't really sound like very much food. You think, oh God, well, what am I supposed to eat? But actually, when you look at the kinds of variety of foods that you can eat, you realize that it does actually fit into a number of different dietary patterns. You know, you can have porridge for breakfast with added flax seeds and chia seeds and berries and, you know, like a coconut yogurt, for example. You could have a healthy whole grain cereal, for example, with all those extra goodies and fruits on top. You could have a plant-powered smoothie. You could have plant-powered pancakes. You know, you could have whole grain toast with avocado on top. And so even just for breakfast, you realize actually there's quite a different variety of what you would class as familiar breakfast options, but whole foods, plant-based versions of them.
Yeah. And I suppose a lot of it actually comes down to then experimenting with different things, trying different things, looking at, you know, ideas in books like yours or recipes to see the sorts of things that they could try.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's the beauty of it. That's what I want people to get from it, is the actual sense of abundance that you can have and the excitement that you can have when you're looking at these things in this way. Because one of the things that I've sort of noticed people feel when they think about plant-based nutrition is that, oh, they're going to have to restrict themselves and it's going to feel really difficult. And don't get me wrong, I'm sure sometimes it is challenging, especially if you're going out for dinner or with friends or you've got other social expectations, which we could touch on if you want to. But I think my take-home message in terms of starting out on this kind of journey towards eating more plants is really to think of it as an exciting adventure. Think of it as a way of incorporating more plants for health, for longevity, for your taste buds, for your body, for your mind, for your soul, and feeling good about that, finding new recipes to enjoy rather than thinking, oh no, well, I've got to exclude this thing or that thing, or I'm not going to eat this thing again. Thinking of it in a completely different way.
Yeah, I love that. So it's about bringing more in, isn't it? And having that positivity rather than, you know, focusing on what you're not having. It's focusing on what you can have. And as you said, there's so much out there.
Yeah, exactly.
So, touch on immunity, which is one of the things that I talk about in this show. How could people learn about how immunity is supported by having a more whole foods, plant-based diet? What does it do to support our immune?
Well, the main ways that I think plants can be really helpful is by providing great nutrients for our beneficial microbes in our gut. And we know that about 70% of our immune cells reside next to the gut lining, the GALT, the gut-associated lymphoid tissue, and all of that is right next to the outside world, next to our gut. And so we need to have a fully functioning and healthy gut lining and fully functioning and healthy gut microbes in order for a fully functioning and healthy immune system. So when we feed those microbes with fiber-rich foods, insoluble and soluble fiber, that's great because it's essentially the way that these good beneficial gut microbes can support their own populations and support you and your own health and your gut lining. So, there are things called short chain fatty acids, propionate, acetate, and what they do is they provide fuel for your good gut bugs. And you can only really get those from plant foods. You can't get those from animal foods. So having lots of fruits, vegetables, whole grains and legumes is really helpful for that reason. Now, some people find that when they start on a plant-rich diet, what they tend to notice is that they might feel a bit bloated, a bit flatulent. And that can sometimes be because their gut bugs haven't yet caught up with their new way of eating. And so it's for people in that situation, it's really about taking it gradually, taking it slowly, building up that muscle, a bit like going to the gym for your gut. So I'm not a gym goer myself personally. You know, people do go to the gym, they lift weights, but they don't start with the heaviest weight. They never do. They have to start light and then work their way up. It's a bit like that, I think, if you're suffering from bloating or, you know, when you have more legumes, when you have more chickpeas, lentils, beans, it takes a little bit of time for your gut bug populations to get used to it. But when they do, that's when you begin to thrive, because your gut bugs are then doing you an enormous favor. They're helping to regulate your gut lining. They're helping to soothe your immune system and help it function the way it's supposed to. Because it's really hard. You've got billions of different bacteria and viruses and parasites and protozoa. And your body has to figure out what to fight and what not to fight. Your body has to figure out what to let in and what not to let in. And so fiber from plants is one of the ways in which it does that. It's one of the ways in which your body is able to communicate directly with your gut bugs.
Yeah. And I mean, gut health has become a much more popular topic, hasn't it, recently? People talk about it more, people are learning more about it, and it's you know, it's out there more. But I'm not sure people always realize how closely our gut health is connected with our immune health, because as you say, 70% of our immune system resides around the gut, and it uses the population of our gut microbes to train it and modulate it and regulate how it acts in our body. So that's why that microbial population is so important.
Absolutely.
And just going back to the fiber, so prebiotics have started to, I think, take people's interest a bit more than probiotics just recently. And a lot of that comes down to this fibre, doesn't it? That's what we're talking about, is those particular types of fibre that really feed those gut bugs very well.
Exactly. So when people talk about prebiotics, sometimes they get confused and think you're talking about the probiotics that you get, you know, in these small like yogurt pots and things like that. It's not the same thing. Prebiotics are essentially dietary fiber. They can only come from plants. And so when you're eating a plant-rich diet, you are providing your gut bugs with prebiotics naturally. There are some that are particularly concentrated. So, you know, you could have certain supplements that would contain prebiotics, acacia powder, for example, you could mix into water, or ispicula husk.
I can never say that.
Sounds that wrong. Ispicula husk.
For a long time, I called it isphagula husk, but that's completely wrong. So
I was nearer at least. So ispicula husk and acacia powder, glucomannan. These are supplements that you can actually, inulin. These are all supplements that are essentially prebiotic supplements that you could add into your daily routine or your smoothies to boost the amount of prebiotics that your gut is receiving. You don't have to do that. You can actually have a plant-rich diet and it will have, you know, a great effect for your gut bugs too.
And just by adopting a more whole foods plant-based diet, we massively increase our fiber intake anyway, don't we? And one of the things we know is that many of us don't hit our fiber goals. We're supposed to get at least 30 grams a day, aren't we? And I think later studies show we get somewhere between 15 and 19 grams, the majority of the population. So we're falling short. So actually, by moving over to this way of eating, you can naturally increase your fiber intake anyway. And fiber has lots of other benefits as well, apart from feeding and supporting our gut health, doesn't it?
Yes, I think it's the long forgotten nutrient in a way. People used to think, oh, it's not really very useful. It's just there to bulk up our stools. But actually, even bulking up our stools is a really good thing to do, because what a lot of people suffer with these days is constipation. And constipation, it sounds just like it's a bit of an uncomfortable problem, but it's actually a serious medical issue. You know, if it's left untreated, then obviously it's extremely uncomfortable, but it's also a way for your body to hold on to unwanted and unnecessary hormones that it's wanting to get rid of, toxins that you are taking in from the environment that it's wanting to poop out. You're essentially reabsorbing these things when the poo is stuck in the large intestine for longer than it needs to be. So yeah, it's not only a way of actually just bulking up the stools, but it's a way of helping you to regulate your hormonal control, as well as regulating what goes in and out of the body. You know, we've talked about how important it is for immune health, but there are other benefits as well for other body systems, including our hormone system.
And fibre has been linked to a reduced risk of certain types of cancer, and helps to regulate our cholesterol levels as well. So there's so many benefits apart from just the immune side, which obviously in itself is. Now, when people have studied populations that live for a long time and live healthily, they found that they tend to eat a more whole food plant-based diet, haven't they? So are these mechanisms the same sorts of things that we've just been talking about that contribute to them living healthier for longer?
I think so. Yes, they would definitely be playing a part. I love looking at Dan Buettner's research from the National Geographic, the Blue Zones. Many of the populations in the Blue Zones eat a very plant-rich diet. Well, in fact, they all do. Not all exclusively plant-based. Only the Adventists are exclusively plant-based, but the others have, you know, a vast majority of what they're eating is being plant-based. It's not the only factor for longevity in these populations, but it's one of the main ones. I think oxidation plays a part as well, to be honest. So, you know, aging generally happens within our bodies because of the effect of oxidation on our DNA. And it's something that we can't really control in a lot of ways, because it happens as part of our normal physiological processes. But when you are having plant-rich foods, what you're doing is you're actually able to potentially improve or reduce the amount of oxidation that takes place within the body, thereby reducing the inflammation, thereby reducing aging. And some studies show that having a very plant-rich diet is able to actually lengthen the telomeres in our on the ends of our chromosomes, which are the almost like the little shoelaces on the ends that cap the chromosomes and help control the age of the cell. And once you run out of those, the cell dies. Well, the idea is that having all these plant-rich foods can actually prolong the life of those telomeres, thereby also prolonging cellular longevity.
Amazing. And really that comes down to the fact that whole foods and plant-based foods have so many more nutrients in them, don't they, than processed foods, ultra-processed foods, and foods that have otherwise been refined, because they tend to have a lot of the nutrients stripped out, or they just lose them during the process of whatever's happened to them. And when we talk about these nutrients, we're not just talking about standard vitamins and minerals. There are these other things like antioxidants, just touched upon. There's phytonutrients. So can we talk a bit about phytonutrients, for example, and how beneficial they can be for us compared to foods that don't have them?
Yeah, I mean, there are loads of phytonutrients in fruits and vegetables, many of which we haven't even named yet. And it's interesting because, you know, you could try to bottle one particular phytonutrient, resveratrol, for example, that we know comes from red grapes mainly, and other beautiful like berries and red type of fruits. But you bottle it and you pop it in a supplement and it wouldn't necessarily have the same effect. So the idea is that when you're eating these foods that come from the ground, they've grown with the ability to provide you with a number of different phytonutrients of all different varying concentrations that work in synergy with each other to give you that health beneficial effect. And it's quite hard to replicate that. And I think in a way, we're almost too arrogant, you know, as humans, to think that we can actually just think, oh, we'll just isolate that one particular phytonutrient, and if we pop it in a pill, then that's going to have the same effect. It doesn't. And we're only just beginning to discover some of these amazing phytonutrients and what they can do for our bodies. And I think it's partly because of the antioxidant effect that they have. In a sense, these foods are electron donators, if you like. So if you imagine oxidation happening because of free radicals, which are these very fast moving oxygen molecules bouncing around inside our cells, then the fruits and vegetables are there to provide electrons to soothe that oxygen species and relax it. So it's rather than a pin and a pinball machine, it's able to relax and it doesn't cause as much damage on a cellular level.
I love that description there. I'm always thinking of good ways to describe free radicals, and that's brilliant.
Good. I'm glad you like that one.
I think there's a lot to be said for what we've just mentioned as well about foods coming from nature and how eating them in the form that they grew, or, you know, well, grew, is very different to just trying to isolate certain compounds. And, you know, nature's a wonderful thing. I mean, it's very clever, and we do sometimes overlook that, don't we? We sort of bustle around as human beings, but all this nature around us has evolved over millennia and has its own very special sort of properties and chemicals that we can really benefit from. We just need to tap into them.
I completely agree. And this is something, you know, in our hubris, we sort of think, oh, yes, you know, we know everything and science knows everything. And, you know, I am very science based in the things that I've been sharing online and through my work on my website, in my book. But I leave space for the unknown, because there is a lot that we do not know. We just don't. And I think the ways in which a lot of these compounds work in synergy are still unknown to us. And I think that's something that we have to accept and hopefully continue to learn from.
Yeah. And I wonder what you think about eating seasonally, because that ties into it as well, doesn't it? The way that things that grow in nature change through the year. Is there a role for that supporting our physiology as well? You know, have we evolved with that over time, and have we lost touch with that perhaps?
I feel that there is a role for that, and it makes sense intuitively that things that thrive at certain times of year will also help our bodies to thrive at those times of year. I can't quote any specific studies that have shown that eating seasonally is particularly beneficial for our health, but it's a lovely idea because it fits in with just generally eating foods that are made for our bodies at different seasons. And also it fits in with environmental health, making sure that the health of our soil is optimal, and that, you know, we can encourage and support local growers, local farmers wherever we can. So it fits in very nicely with that narrative as well. But yeah, I can't give you any specific studies to show that it is particularly more beneficial.
It's a nice idea. I like it.
I like it too.
Just whilst we're on that, something I wanted to quickly ask about: organic versus non-organic. When we're talking about whole foods and plant-based foods, a lot of people are immediately going to think, well, there's so many pesticides, there's so many chemicals, and there are obviously in some. What do you tend to recommend with regards to this? Because I feel that it's better to have them than to not have them. If you can get organic for some, maybe that's good, but I'd love to know what your thoughts are on this.
Yeah, it sounds like you've got a very pragmatic point of view on that, and I'm inclined to agree. I have actually touched on that in my book as well. I think that the vast majority of the studies that we have to show benefits for plant-based eating have been done on people who have eaten conventionally grown produce, i.e. produce that has been grown in modern society with the use of pesticides. So I would hate for people to avoid fruits and vegetables because they're worried about pesticides, because actually, if you're eating an ultra processed diet or if you're eating a lot of animal products, they will contain pesticides anyway.
Exactly.
And the animal products will contain a higher concentration of pesticides because they bioaccumulate with each animal that's consumed them. That's just the way it works biologically. So you are not going to be doing yourself more harm by eating fruits and vegetables and fruit and vegetable rich diet than, you know, if you were eating a standard diet. Having said that, there's a small handful of studies to show that eating organic may be beneficial in some cases. There was a Nutrisante study done in France on populations eating organic produce. They tried to adjust for socioeconomic status. So they basically wanted to make sure that there were no confounding factors around, you know, people having more advantages money-wise as to whether they would have those confer those same health benefits. And what they discovered was that there was a statistically significant reduction in cancer rates in those who ate organic versus conventional products. Specifically, we have data for non-Hodgkin's lymphoma to suggest that that may be sort of more likely when you are consuming more conventionally grown produce, but we don't really have that much data to support that organic is better than conventional for, you know, in terms of most other parameters. And I would rather people ate their fruits and vegetables than didn't. Yeah. So it's about finding the balance. To me, I think what we really need to focus on is conservation agriculture. Now, this is something that most people on the high street or in the supermarket are not going to be able to think about. But if you are thinking about where your food comes from, then aim to support conservation agriculture wherever you can, which isn't necessarily always organic, but what it is a way of helping the soil to recover, using rotational crops, making sure that you are minimizing the use of pesticides as much as possible, avoiding tilling of the soil, because when you're doing that, you're disrupting the amazing soil and fungal networks that help to support the soil health. So these are the things that actually probably have far more impact in improving human environmental health than simply thinking, oh, well, I'll just buy everything organic.
Yeah. How can people find out more about that? You know, if they want to look into, say, local conservational farming, is there a website that they can look at, or?
So there is a website. I can't remember the name of it. I have looked at it myself a couple of times. Maybe you could try and link that in the show.
Okay, I'll link that.
Yeah, I think what's really been interesting for me is actually listening to the work of environmental scientist Nicholas Carter. The Plant Proof podcast by Simon Hill is a good place to start, because he talks a lot about environmental health and what it means to farm conventionally versus conservationally. What regenerative agriculture can and can't do for soil health, whether you have to include animals in regenerative agriculture or not. It's a very complicated topic that I suppose most people wouldn't necessarily be interested in. I'm fascinated by it. So I've done that extra work looking into that. But if you're interested, I'd say look up, you know, local conservation farming and local farmers that you can. The film Groundswell is amazing, and that's a great place to start. If you want to learn more about it, just Google the film Groundswell.
Lovely, thank you. Just going back to the beginning, you mentioned that when you first adopted a whole foods plant-based diet, your weight stayed around the same. And I'm just wondering, for people listening who might be, say, trying to lose a bit of weight at the moment or worried that they might gain weight on it, for example, well, how does weight regulation work if you change from a more traditional diet, standard Western diet, to a whole food plant-based diet?
I've done a whole chapter in my book on weight regulation. So if anybody wants to read it, they can. I would say that for the most part, eating a whole food plant-rich diet is a great way of regulating your weight. So if you are hoping to reach a healthy weight, whatever that looks like for you, then whole food plant-based eating patterns are really helpful for that. A lot of people find that it's easier to lose excess weight because you are filling up on fiber-rich foods, and there are certain satiety hormones that are stimulated more by whole foods plant-based diets, which is helpful because you want to be able to feel full. I think a lot of the problems that people have when they go on a diet or they start calorie counting or they feel restricted is that they feel more hungry. They notice, you know, they're constantly thinking about food. If you are having a whole foods plant-rich lifestyle, whole food plant-based diet, and you're not focusing necessarily on weight loss, it will naturally potentially come away because you're just eating more fiber and you're eating when you're hungry. Some people actually lose weight unintentionally when they go on a whole food plant-based diet, and that's because they're often ignoring hunger cues or thinking, well, it looks like too much food, I shouldn't really be eating that much food. But you can, please eat, you know, eat when you're hungry.
Eat
as much as you like, and you know, most people will find that they'll find a natural equilibrium when it comes to what they're eating. There's actually some really good patient information leaflets on the Plant-Based Health Professionals UK website on, you know, how to lose weight healthfully and how to gain weight healthfully on a whole food plant-based diet. Because as I've mentioned, some people find that they actually lose weight when they didn't want to. There's some great tips on there on how to gain weight if you wish.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Galar Light is the quantum energy emitted from the universe, from the sun and stars. Now, Tom Palladino, a humanitarian and Scalar Light researcher, has created the world's only Scalar Light healing system, a system that can bring long-distance healing and wellness to humans, pets, and plants via a photograph. Get your free 15-day trial now at scalarlight.com or click on the Scalar Light banner on the UK Health Radio website.
Shields like masks are top of mind right now, but did you know you have inner armor working constantly to protect you from pathogens? It keeps you healthy and thriving. It's your immune system. Ion Gut triggers the body's natural ability to support gut strength all year long, so your immune system can protect you when you need it the most. How are you treating your inner armor? Visit uk.ionbiome.com to learn more. Ion Gut. Protect what protects you.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Oh, brilliant. I'll link to that in the show notes as well then. Now, are there any things people need to be more wary of if they adopt a more whole foods plant-based diet in terms of, are there any supplements they might need or any things they might be missing out on? And how can they make sure they get enough protein in, for example?
Yeah, so there's a number of key nutrients that we need to look at with any dietary pattern. And I think what a lot of people don't realise is that their foods are often supplemented and fortified day to day without them even realising it. Yeah. Bread, for example, has got a lot of B vitamins, thiamine, things like that. Cow's milk is supplemented with iodine. So when you're having a plant-based diet, you want to just check, am I getting enough vitamin B12? That's the main thing. Vitamin B12 is the only vitamin that you can't get on a plant-based diet. Vitamin B12 is made by microbes in the soil. And so you might wonder where your grass-fed cow gets their vitamin B12. Well, they munch on grass and they drink untreated water, and that's where they get their B12 from. We don't want to do that. I certainly don't want to be eating soil or drinking untreated water. So, you know, in order to really cut out that middle man or that middle cow, you do have to take a supplement. Interestingly, most of the cows and chickens that we eat get their B12 from supplements as well. They will receive B12 supplementation in their feed, and that's how it ends up in their muscles.
Right.
So again, really, some people worry, oh, is it natural to take a B12 supplement? Well, I don't know. Is it natural to feed a chicken a B12 supplement and then eat the chicken? You know,
yeah,
it's a similar principle. So I would say B12 is an absolute must. In terms of other things, I think it's helpful if you look for fortified plant milks. Many plant milks are fortified now with iodine, for example. And there's lots of different brands out there, especially growing up milks. You can get growing up soy milk, for example, in the supermarkets, which are great for, you know, if your family is having a plant-based diet. And it's just a lovely way of ensuring that you're getting a similar nutrient profile from a plant milk, for example. Vitamin D is important for most people, regardless of dietary pattern. But I would say, particularly on a plant-based diet, it's good to make sure that you have enough vitamin D. It's not easy to get through food anyway. So even if you're eating an omnivorous dietary pattern, you might really struggle with vitamin D. You make it through the skin mostly. But again, at northerly latitudes like the UK, you're really not going to be making very much. So also, we kind of spend most of our time indoors, don't we? Most
of the
time. So I would say everybody should look into vitamin D supplementation. If you're worried or you're not sure, you can always ask your GP for a test to see, am I vitamin D deficient? I would recommend 1,000 to 2,000 units a day, which is more than the standard recommendation of 400 international units a day. But just based on my personal experience and the things that I've read, I found that 1,000 units is a nice way of maintaining levels for most people, and 2,000 units is a nice way of gradually increasing it if you're not very, very low. But just double check if you're not sure what your levels are. And apart from that, really, it's about ensuring that you have a nice wide variety of plant-based foods. Think about ensuring, have I got enough healthy whole grains? Have I got enough chickpeas, lentils, beans? Have I had enough lentils? Have I had enough fruits? Have I had enough vegetables? If the answer is yes, if you feel like you're having a healthy, full plate, then you really don't need to worry too much about anything else.
Yeah.
I think fatty acids are something people like to talk about.
I was going to ask about that.
Yeah. So very briefly, there are different types of omega-3 fatty acids. I'll keep it simple. We've got the long chain ones and the short chain ones. And when you eat fish, you tend to be eating more of the DHA, EPA long chain omega-3 fatty acids. Whereas if you're eating plant-based foods, you'll be having the short chain omega-3s from ALA. Now, what people do in their bodies is convert ALA to EPA and DHA, they convert the short chain to the long chain. Most people don't do that particularly efficiently. Women of childbearing age are the most efficient at doing that conversion, but we know that EPA is particularly useful, the long chain fatty acids, particularly useful for children's brains growing up, particularly useful for potentially reducing a risk of dementia in old age. And so perhaps as an insurance policy, if you're having a whole foods plant-based diet, you might consider an algae oil supplement, because algae oil is where, well, algae, in fact, or algae if you're American, that's where the fish get their omega-3s from.
Yeah.
So, and remember, not all fish are omega-3 rich, only oily fish. And it's those oily fish that get the omega-3s from the algae in the ocean. So if you're taking the algae, then again, I suppose you're avoiding the middleman there. You're also avoiding the dioxins, PCBs, heavy metals, microplastics that these poor fish have been exposed to due to, you know, human industrial processes. So definitely think about an algae oil supplement. We don't yet have enough data to say that you have to have an algae oil supplement if you are eating a vegetarian or a vegan diet. In fact, most of the epidemiological studies that we have, the population-based studies that we have, will show us that plant-rich diets actually reduce risk of things like dementia. And, you know, there's no evidence to suggest that it could affect brain health in children either. But why not just take it just in case for now, until we have more data?
So for people listening who are interested in, you know, or who want to perhaps try incorporating more whole foods and plant-based for their diet, but maybe they're currently on a very standard Western diet with very little of those foods in, What are your sort of main tips for switching over? Do you advise people just go for it, or do you think a gradual approach is better?
It really depends on the person. Yeah. And I forgot to say earlier, if you want to have a plant-based omega-3s, think about flax seeds, chia seeds, hemp seeds and walnuts. Yeah. I forgot to mention those. Very important. I love flax seeds. They're so good, not just for omega-3s, but also for regulating our blood pressure, improving the suppleness of our blood vessels. So yeah, sorry, I forgot to mention that.
And they're so versatile as well. You can do so much with them. I chuck them into smoothies, porridge, yogurt, literally over a salad. I mean, you can just do anything with them really, can't you?
Exactly. They go anywhere and everywhere. But yeah. Oh, another top tip is to have them, if you can, have them crushed up into a powder. You can buy them pre-milled, ready-milled from in a bag in the supermarket. And what makes that great is that they're more bioavailable. Your body's able to absorb the nutrients a bit better that way. Right, so what were we talking about? You asked me a question about
people switching over.
Yeah, so it depends on the person. I think I've had patients that were so desperate for an improvement in their health that they just decided to switch to a whole food plant-based diet overnight. And many of them did brilliantly. Many of them were immediately able to see an improvement in things like angina pains, immediately able to see improvements in pains in their joints, for example. You know, that's great. But for most of us, making that kind of leap of faith is hard, especially if you're generally well and you just, you know that it's good for you long term, but you don't necessarily have that same motivation. So if you're in that camp, then just take it slow and enjoy the journey. You know, look at different recipes, maybe make a promise to yourself that you're going to look up one new recipe a week that you're going to really enjoy. Find your favorite comfort food, see if you can make a plant-based swap, and just enjoy that process. Most of us will only really rotate between a few base meals each week. So once you've got a good plant-rich swap for your favorite meal and you've done that for a few weeks in a row, you're good to go.
Yeah. And of course, your book has lots of ideas in it as well, which is great. Lots of recipes.
Yes. Here it is.
It's a great book.
Yeah, thank you. It has lots of ideas. You know, there's over 60 recipes in there, but I've got a section on every disease. So, you know, if you've got a family loved one who's suffering from heart disease, cancer, an autoimmune disease, gut health issues, they want to help with weight regulation, you know, whatever it is, plant-based for all ages, it's all in there, and the data is supported by science. I've used nearly 600 references in the book, so it's all there. And then if you know, okay, this is the way I want to go, I want to give it a try, then you've got the recipes to get you going. And the recipes are generally around comfort foods and easy to access ingredients as well.
Brilliant. And just out of interest, Gemma, how have your have your colleagues reacted or responded to the way you perhaps talk to your patients differently about nutrition now? Have they been quite accepting? Have any of them tried it? Have you converted the people you work with?
Yeah, so I do have supportive colleagues. And I'm so very lucky. I have a great and supportive partner at my surgery. She is really excited by the changes that we can see in our patients' health. She and I have both trained at there's something called the Complete Health Improvement Program, which is a whole food plant-based program of interventions over the course of a few weeks that she has begun to train in because she's become really passionate about it. You know, she's not 100% whole food plant-based, but you know, I say that every small shift is beneficial. So you don't have to go completely whole food plant-based to reap some of the benefits, for sure. And you know, I've been very lucky, and I think it helps to be able to talk to colleagues about some of the data. And I think it also helps to talk about some of the guidelines that we already know. Now, guidelines have been in place, you know, for a number of years, and they're helpful because they come into being because a professional body of people has looked at the available data and come up with population recommendations based on the data. So although it seems as though what I'm saying is outlying information, actually it is within a lot of the guideworks that we have already in existence. Like the American College of Clinical Endocrinologists says that a whole food plant rich diet is really important for helping to prevent type 2 diabetes. And the American College of Cardiology states that a plant based diet is one of the first things you can do to help prevent heart disease. You know, we have the data. The World Health Organization, you know, they call processed meats class one carcinogens. The World Cancer Research Fund says that fruits, vegetables, whole grains and legumes are the cornerstone of a cancer-fighting diet. So actually, it's all there.
Yeah.
Sometimes we just need a little bit of a nudge to say, you know, let's chat to our patients about it.
Yeah, I love that. And it's good that you know, that they're on board with it as well, which is brilliant. So Gemma, if people would like to connect with you, follow you on Instagram, get your book, where can they find out more? Where can they find you?
Well, they can find me at Plant Power Doctor on Instagram. That's where I'm most active. Yeah. So if you want to have a look at the information that I share there, that would be lovely. Send me a DM. I have a website which I've put together, which has got loads of free resources, and it's a lovely starting point if you're not sure where to look or what to do. So the website is gemmanewman.com. You can also find it on plantpowerdoctor.com. It will take you to the same thing. That is a lovely place to start because it's all free, it's all readily accessible, and you've got lots of different information points to look at there. And my book is it's a very reasonably priced and comprehensive, colourful summary of the data that we have, and also as a practical how to get you started. So I definitely recommend that, and you can get that from any good bookshop.
And I'd completely agree with that. I love your book. As you say, comprehensive is the perfect word to describe it, and so accessible, and just very user-friendly. So I'd highly recommend that too.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for joining me today, Gemma. I feel like we've whistled through so much, and there's so many things I'm still thinking I would have liked to ask you about, but perhaps another time.
Well, we can come back again, absolutely.
That'd be lovely. Thank you so much for your time.
My pleasure. Bye.
Bye. Thank you so much for listening today, and I really hope you've enjoyed this conversation. Do follow me on Instagram at @thehealthspandoctor for information on the show, as well as recipes and health and nutrition advice. Until next week, let's live life better.